Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
Hey, it's Coach John Quintero. Thanks for downloading and listening to The John Quintero Show. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can always listen live weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's showtime.
San Diego,
hitting the airwaves live in America's finest city.
It's the John Quintero Show.
Doctor!
San Diego's only sports show with two born and raised San Diegans.
Let's face it, we're the most interactive talk show in Southern California.
Longtime coach and San Diego sports radio legend, John Quintero.
When the roster came out, they're benched. They don't have veterans on the bench right now. You got to have some veterans coming off that bench.
And his young, up-and-coming co-host, Braden Soprenes.
I mean, it was on me to bring a date, and I did it. So that's on me, but I still had a good time, Coach.
Why is he always calling me me?
Here is the coach, John Quintero.
Let's play the ball! Let's play the ball! Yeah!
Live and local on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, a very, very happy Thursday morning to everyone, and welcome to 97.3 The Fan. Coach John Quintero with you for the next 4 hours. We got a lot to cover coming off of that ball game last night, man. That was a flat-out heartbreaker. Padres losing 10 to the Dodgers, 1-0. Padres had ample opportunities to win the ball game last night, but they only went 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position last night. Dodgers not getting it done either. They're 1-for-9 last night and only 2-for-26 in the first couple of games. The Padres 2-for-17 in the first two ball games. A rubber game tonight of the three-game series. The Padres' magic number still sitting at 4. Boy, we got a lot to digest from last night, but I want to get everyone caught up on the NL East and the NL Wild Card right now. In the NL East, the Mets hold a one-game lead over Atlanta. The Mets win last night. They're now 98-58. Atlanta loses last night. They're 97-59, again, one game back. Last night, the Mets trailed 4-0, going to the bottom of the seventh against Miami. They pushed across two runs in the seventh, two more in the eighth, and they win it in the 10th inning on a one-out RBI walk-off single by Eduardo Escobar, 5-4. Atlanta lost at Washington last night in 10 innings, 3-2, in the National League Wild Card. Atlanta, the number one team right now. Of course, that could change over the next couple of days. It could be the New York Mets. But right now, the Padres, a 2.5-game lead over the Phillies, a 3-game lead over Milwaukee. The Padres sitting at 86-69. The Phillies at 83-71. And Milwaukee sitting at 83-72. They're a half game back of Philadelphia. And again, the Padres have a 3-game lead over Milwaukee along with the tiebreaker. Now, remember, Philadelphia has the tiebreaker right now over both Milwaukee and the Padres. But the Padres right now, even with the loss last night, they're still sitting in very, very good shape. Last night, the Phillies lost 4-2 at Wrigley Field against the Cubs, and the Phils now have lost 9 of their last 12, really going in the wrong direction. Milwaukee won at home against St. Louis 5-1. Today, Philadelphia at Chicago, and then tomorrow, Philadelphia opens up a four-game series in Washington at Nationals Park. They got a doubleheader on Saturday. In Milwaukee, they host Miami, the start of a four-game series today. So we'll keep you up to date on that. I want to get into the game, and I want to start with Joe Musgrove. And I read an article in the paper today regarding Joe. Remember the last start where he got taken out? We kind of go, wow, why'd they take him out so early? He's pitching pretty well. Well, he's had a little bit of a fatigued shoulder, and apparently he did some kind of exercise that kind of bothered his scapula, and he had to get treatment. And last night I thought Joe went out there and threw a very, very nice ball game. Once again, the Dodgers do a great job of fouling off pitchers, extending at bats. And last night, Joe, 5 innings, 4 hits, no runs, 4 walks. He hit Max Muncy. He had 8 strikeouts, left the bases loaded in the first and fifth, left 9 runners in all on the bases in his 5 innings. He threw 106 pitches. And you go back to first game of the series, the Dodgers did it again to Blake Snell. 5 innings where he only gave up that one hit, but they forced him to throw 96 pitches. I mean, I don't think there's a team in baseball that does a better job of extending at-bats than the Los Angeles Dodgers. They also, with that win last night, set their all-time. Think about all the great teams in Brooklyn, all the teams that have been championship teams in L.A. They set their team regular season record last night with 107 wins. That's an amazing stat. An amazing stat, 107. They got one more to go against the Padres, and they got 6 to finish the year against the Colorado Rockies. Last night, the Padres actually out-hit the Dodgers 7-5. Padres did not have an extra base hit last night. Dodgers had a couple of doubles last night. Padres made 1 error last night. Dodgers didn't make any. And the difference in the ball game, that little looper out there to center field, Freddie Freeman, RBI single, and brought home Mookie Betts to make it 1-0. Padres, they couldn't find a way to get it done. And Bob Melvin is really getting chastised by a lot of fans. I mean, a lot of people right now really second guessing Bob Melvin. And I want your opinion on this. Now, when you take a look, Padres had ample opportunities to win last night. And it just didn't come down to the bottom of the 10th inning. Okay? I mean, the bottom line, they're not swinging well with runners in scoring position. But the Dodgers have been even worse, but the series is tied at 1 game apiece. Now, you go to the bottom of the 10th last night. Got a runner on second base. And Austin Nola, who really has been swinging the bat exceptionally well. In fact, last night, he had 2 hits last night. He had 2 of the Padres' 7 hits last night. He was supposed to lead off the bottom of the 10th with the runner on second base, which was Yerkes and Profar. Well, Bob Melvin decides to pinch hit Josh Bell. Josh Bell, a big left-hand hitter. Of course, we know he's a switch hitter, but he's going against Tommy Canley, the reliever for the Dodgers, who, by the way, has really pitched well the last couple of nights against the Padres. But Canley on the mound, and Josh Bell, you know, doesn't get a hit, but the runner does get over to third base. I mean, Profar, boy, that was a little bit of a gamble. Trey Turner on that ground ball, you thought, man, he may go to third, but he got the sure out at first. Okay, so Josh Bell grounds out. Then up comes Trent Grisham. And everybody I know listening to the ball game, watching the game on TV, people in the stands know the struggles that Trent Grisham has had. And Trent Grisham looked absolutely lost at the plate against Tommy Canley. For that second strike, they tried a suicide squeeze. He fouled it off. Then he ended up striking out. And then Ha-Seong Kim, you know, hit a little comeback or a little worm burner in front of the plate. Canley picked it up and threw it over to Freddie Freeman to end the ballgame. A lot of people were really second-guessing Bob Melvin last night. 2 ways. Number one, why didn't you let Aaron Nola hit, or I should say Austin Nola, why you didn't let him hit? Because he's been swinging the bat very well against the right-hander Tommy Canley, who throws a fastball and a changeup. And then you allowed Trent Grisham to bat when he's hitting under 190, and you got a guy like Jorge Alfaro who's been great in clutch situations. We know he's got the 4 walk-off hits. He had the walk-off walk the other night. But Jorge Alfaro, even though he strikes out a lot, he's the type of guy that might be able to maybe not get a hit, but at least get you a sac fly, put the ball in play somewhere. The Dodgers had to bring their infield in. You never know. But I thought it was interesting. And I said this yesterday. I kind of defended Trent Grisham yesterday. And you know what? I'm going to defend Bob Melvin and Trent Grisham today. Because Bob Melvin said after the game last night, the Padres are there at their best when Trent Grisham is in the lineup. And I agree with that. I totally agree with that. That's why I said yesterday when people were calling to bash Trent Grisham, I said, hey, you got to get this guy going. He may not get going, but he gives you an opportunity defensively. Normally he lays down the bunt last night. That's a tough situation. You got the runner on third. And it was kind of a gutsy call, I thought, by Bob Melvin, because a lot of times when you got a left-hand batter at the plate, it's very easy for a guy like Will Smith to step out, and Canely, if he detects it early, he can just pitch out, and they either tag him out or they get him in a rundown and eventually tag him out. But it was a gutsy call by Bob Melvin, and Trent Grisham unfortunately fouled the ball off, and then the next pitch struck out. But a lot of people really getting at the Padre manager today. Last night after the game, man, I was amazed how many people were critical of Bob Melvin last night. And you know what? That's a great thing about baseball. We all have our opinions. You know, I really didn't think twice about it. You know, I kind of thought, well, you know, Josh Bell's not swinging it that well, but you know what? He can maybe get you a fly ball, maybe he drives one into the gap, and now you got a run in. You got a guy on second base with nobody out. I know what Melvin was thinking. Not only that, he's trying to keep a guy like Josh Bell mentally into it. And the same thing with Trent Grisham. I mean, Trent Grisham, I mean, he really needs an extended vacation in Hawaii or Cabo right now. You can tell, I mean, he's just lost mentally right now at the plate. And I don't know if the Padres have the wherewithal right now in their coaching staff to get him back mentally. I mean, fundamentally, there's some things he has to do. He's got to get in a better hitting position earlier. You know, I'd say the same thing about Bellinger. I'm watching Bellinger last night. He's late on everything. I mean, it's better to get started early than try to get started late because you never catch up. It's like a pitcher who opens his front side. You never catch up with your arm. But I'm watching Trent Grisham last night. When he strikes out and he's walking back to the dugout, I mean, he looks like a man without a country right now. But you know what? His manager showed some confidence in him. Now, I don't know who exactly what the Dodgers are going to do. I heard last night they're going to go with Brusdar Gratterall today. Still not determined on who the Padres are going to pitch. Bob Melvin, he evaded that like the plague last night in the post game. He goes, we got to sit down and talk about it. You know, I think they'll probably go with Yu Darvish. I would think they would probably go with Yu Darvish. I hope they're not panicking because they're still sitting in pretty good shape right now. They're still sitting in pretty good shape. Don't panic. Go with the plan you had. And I think the plan was probably if they won the first two games, they'd go with Manaea and they'd go with Darvish tomorrow night in game one against the White Sox. I hope the Padres, that they really think through this and don't panic because, you know, the way Manaea's pitched right now, he could go out and he hadn't pitched well against the Dodgers. We know that. We know the Padres would like to avoid Manaea going against the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers have really beaten him up and hit him for home runs, and, you know, he just hasn't had any success at all. So, you know, maybe they go with Darvish tonight, but if they were to lose tonight with Darvish on the mound, then they can probably have to go with Manaea tomorrow night. Somewhere along the line, Sean Manaea's got to get a start or two before the end of the year. You know, I hope his last start is the last game of the year in a meaningless game against the Giants. And by the way, I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to the Giants. They haven't exactly rolled over, covered up, and dug a hole for themselves. Yeah, they dug a hole for themselves early in the year, but their goal right now is to finish better than 500. And I got news for you. They're only a game under. So what that tells me is when they come in here on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they're not going to just be playing a bunch of guys to get a look at guys for next year. Gabe Kapler wants to finish over 500. And so you got a very hungry ball club coming in. Now, the White Sox, on the other hand, they got all kinds of issues right now, all kinds of issues. I read last night they don't know whether or not Tony La Russa is going to come back. Remember, he had that pacemaker implanted in him a couple of weeks ago. He has not been cleared to come back and manage the remainder of the year. Miguel Cairo, a longtime player for La Russa in St. Louis, is a skipper right now, kind of the interim skipper. But last night, last thing I did before I went to bed, I was reading something from one of the Chicago papers. And they're talking about, you know, what are the White Sox going to do for a manager next year? Is La Russa going to come back? First, they got to figure out if he's coming back. Does Jerry Reinsdorf want him back? Or is it time for Tony to go out to pasture and maybe still be involved with the organization but not be the everyday skipper? Would they give Miguel Cairo the job? But their leading candidate, their number one candidate they want to talk to is our old buddy, Bruce Bochy, who right now is managing Team France. For the World Baseball Classic. I don't know if Boch wants to come back. He's 67 years of age. He's had a few years off now, really enjoying his wife, his boys, his grandkids. lives part of the year in Nashville, the other part out here in Poway. I don't know if he wants to come back. You heard Joe Maddon's name. You heard Joe Girardi. I don't know if Girardi's going to get a job all that quick. I mean, you know, he did a poor job in Philadelphia, and you can pick him apart. You can pick Dave Dombrowski apart. But I think Joe Girardi right now may need to sit out a little bit longer. So that'll be interesting to see what kind of ball club shows up, because they've already been eliminated. They've been eliminated from the division. They've been eliminated from the wild card. Or are their players just going to go through the motions Friday, Saturday, Sunday and play out the string early next week? Or are they going to come in and really compete against our Padres? That'll be interesting. But the task at hand tonight is to win this ball game for a couple of reasons. Number one, show that you can beat the Dodgers in a series, because if the Dodgers win tonight, the Padres will have dropped the last nine series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I look at the record for the year, the Padres against the Dodgers. We know it's not good. With the loss last night, the Padres are now 5-13 against L.A. this year, 3-5 at Petco, and only 2-8 in L.A. I mean, it would be a big win for the Padres. Not only that, it would chip away at that magic number. I still and really believe the Padres are going to get in the playoffs. But that game last night was a gut punch. And you've got the guys at the tail end of your lineup that are just flat out not getting the job done. I mean, Nolan's doing a nice job, upped his average to .252. And you know what? He's actually made something out of his season. I mean, there for a while, you kind of wondered, man, is this guy even going to be back next year? I do think he'll be back. I think he's done a really nice job of catching. I know there was that pass ball last night. I know. Two nights in a row, pass balls in critical situations. But the Padre pitching staff pitched really, really well last night. And that should not be overlooked. They had 13 strikeouts last night. I mean, Big Joe did a great job last night, five innings of four hits. Tim Hill came in. And I talked yesterday about attacking the strike zone. And the Padres, some of their guys must have been listening, because they really attacked the strike zone big time last night. They weren't nibbling against the Dodgers. They were going at them. Tim Hill last night, his one inning, 15 pitches. He threw 10 strikes. Luis Garcia retired to the side on 10 pitches, pounding the strike zone. Nick Martinez last night came in, one walk, a strikeout, 15 pitches, 10 strikes, pounded the strike zone. If you can get a major league ball club out between 12 and 15 pitches in an inning, that's a hell of a job. And then Josh Hader came in. He looked good last night, a couple of punch-outs. Steven Wilson, he ended up getting tagged for that unearned run and took the loss last night. But I thought he threw the ball pretty well in that one. And he gave up that little dunker to Freddie Freeman. He had a couple of strikeouts, took the loss. His record now 4-2. I mean, there were some bright signs by the Padre pitching staff last night. And, of course, Urias and the Dodger guys did a hell of a job last night. That was a great baseball game, but a really, really frustrating baseball game. But Bob Melvin taking a lot of heat. Trent Grisham taking a lot of heat. Where do you stand on this, folks? I want to hear from you today. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Before we get to the first break, I want to wish happy birthday to a couple of buddies of mine. One of them, Tim Flannery, the longtime Padre player, Padre coach, great guy. Him and his group had a great turnout last weekend at the Belly Up here in Solana Beach. Tim Flannery today turns 65 years of age. And very happy to have Tim with us. A couple of years ago, remember he got that really, really bad bacterial infection? And he almost didn't make it. But it's great to celebrate his 61st birthday, and he's up and at him and doing a hell of a job and doing a lot of great stuff in our community and a lot of other communities to raise money for charities. And the heater, Heath Bell, turns 45 today. Of course, Heath Bell did a great job in a Padre uniform. Had a great career here in San Diego. You know, once he got to San Diego, his career really took off. And, you know, I got a lot of great memories of Heath Bell. I remember the first time I ever met him. I was speaking out at the Del Mar Fair. They asked me to come out and talk Padre baseball with a group of fans. And the speaker on the docket after me was Heath Bell. And Heath Bell was out in the crowd, shaking hands, eating ice cream, having a great old time. And he went on and had a very, very nice major league career. It was big years here in San Diego, so a very happy 45th birthday today to the heater, Heath Bell. We'll take a timeout. I expect phone calls today. I really expect phone calls because, number one, it was a good baseball game last night, well played. The Padres made the one error last night, but it was a well-played ball game. It could have gone either way, but that was a heartbreaker. And, of course, I guess if you're a Dodger fan, it was a heartbreaker the other night when Craig Kimbrell walked home the winning run. But you got the rubber game tonight. And I would think tonight, last night, again, they had a little over 32,000. Last time to see the Dodgers go against the Padres this year in the regular season. Hopefully we're going to get them in the second round of the playoffs. But I want to hear from you folks tonight. The Rubber Game, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we come back, I'll tell you about our guest list today. We got our college football pick'em segment at 1 o'clock with Skyler. She did pretty good last week. Me and Braden, not so good, but I did well on my upset pick. But we'll get into that a little bit later on. But when we come back, your phone calls. Leading off on a big Thursday, Coach John Quintero headed at 2 o'clock, and Gwen and Chris right here on San Diego's number one sports station. Thanks for tuning in daily, 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Ten twenty-five, the time. We're going to get out to your phone calls. Everyone should have an opinion if you're a baseball fan on that ball game last night. 1-0 Dodgers. Rubber game tonight, 6:40. You'll hear it right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We've got guests coming up a little bit later on. We got Eddie Brown, little fantasy football talk at 12:35. We got Ryan Horvat, our Odyssey Sports betting insider. He's off the IL. He'll be with us today at 1:35. And, hey, by the way, you want to win a baseball signed by a Padres player? Hey, we're running out of days here in the month of September. Listen for the keyword in about 30 minutes and enter it at 973thefansd.com/autographs for your chance to win. And just a quick reminder, all guests on the John Quintero Show come courtesy of the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall Chevrolet Fine New Roads. Let's get right out to the phones. Very anxious to hear from you fans. And, hey, by the way, congratulations to Aaron Judge last night. Tying Roger Maris for the most home runs in the history of the American League. And Braden and I are going to get into that a little bit more as we work our way through the talk show today. But let's start off today up in Ramona. Mike, you're the leadoff hitter today on the John Quintero Show. Welcome, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great, Coach. Yeah, I watched that game last night, and two things that really disturbed me. One, we've seen it other times this season. You know, it's 0-0. Will Myers comes up. I think there was one out. First pitch pops up to the second baseman, And why aren't these guys going up with the mentality, I'm just going to look for a pitch I can put the barrel of the bat on. All I need is a fly ball, and we're out of here. We got to win. 1-0. We would have never went to extra innings. But why are they not doing that, Coach, and letting them get jammed on the first pitch and hitting a pop-up to the infield?
I can't answer that, Mike. I watched the same thing you watched last night, and I'm going, man, you got to make this guy throw a little bit. I mean, first pitch, I mean, that was like Joey Gallo striking out four times last night with nine runners on base. I mean, it was just, you know, that thing with Will Myers, I just kind of sighed and go, you got to be kidding me. Come on. And then Cronenworth came up and made out, and you're out of the inning.
Yeah, and you could say the same in the first inning with Mookie Betts on third and them not doing that, but it was a different situation. I mean, a fly ball in that situation wins the game. And also, I'm not playing Trent Grisham. I mean, unless it's we got a big lead or something, I'd rather have Ozakar in there. I don't care about the right left-handed matchup, and I don't care that he grounded into two double plays previously. I'd still rather have Ozakar than Grisham watching called strike three right over the plate, Coach.
You know, Mike, I'm having a hard time with this one because not that I think Trent Grisham is the second coming of Andrew Jones in center field defensively. I think he's a really good defender. Offensively, he's giving you nothing right now, but I'll be honest with you. I think a lot of these teams have figured out Ozakar right now. I mean, he doesn't look very confident to play, not swinging the bat all that well. You mentioned the two ground ball double plays he hit in, but you know, he's really come down to earth, and he gives you absolutely zero power. Zero power.
Yeah,
he's approaching 200 at bats, and he doesn't even have one home run. And you know, I know. I mean, we're gasping at straws right now here. You know, what straw do you want to pull out and put in the lineup tonight? But you know, I got to be honest with you. I think where the Padres are at, what they have, I think you got to go with Grisham myself.
Okay.
Hey, you know what? That's my opinion. You got your opinion.
Yeah.
Well, Bob Melvin kind of said it last night. He goes, hey, we're at our best when Trent Grisham's in the lineup. Well, yeah, the good Trent Grisham, but when's he going to reappear?
Right. Yeah. We'll see, Coach. But let's get a win tonight, and I hope they go with Darvish and just get that series win tonight.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I'm going to look during the break. I'll take a look and see if the Padres have made any noise as far as who their starter is going to be. I hear the Dodgers are going to go with Brusdar Graterol, so that's a bullpen game. They'll probably run Andrew Heaney in there behind him, I would think, who would normally make this start. But I think they want to give Graterol a little work. And, you know, some of their other bullpen guys probably could use a night off. They've used quite a few guys the last couple of nights. Mike, have a great day, and thanks so much for the call.
Okay.
Appreciate that call. You know, and I think Mike brings up a great point. I mean, I like Grisham, okay? Grisham stinks right now. Absolutely stinks. I wrote down a thing I saw on Twitter. How about this stat? And, you know, I hate to compare anybody to Tony Gwynn because it's an unfair comparison. But how about this stat? And this would go for, you know, a guy like Chris Taylor who's struck out more than any Dodger this year. Trent Grisham this year has struck out 141 times this season. Our buddy Tony Gwynn struck out a combined 124 times in his final eight seasons. Wow. When you go back and look at some of Tony's numbers, not only did he hit 338, I don't know how the hell you hit 338 for a career. I mean, that's amazing to me. You know, the worst year he ever had was his rookie year here in San Diego. He hit 289. That was the worst year he ever had, 289. And a 338 career hitter. Unbelievable. David and Marietta, welcome to the John Quintero Show. David, how are you today?
Hey, John. Dave Miller.
All right.
I just could not believe what I was seeing last night in that 10th inning. You know, even before Betts moved to third on the wild pitch, pass ball, whichever.
Right.
I couldn't believe they were pitching to Freddie Freeman. I mean, what purpose on earth is there? And as it turned out, you know, Freeman dumps the ball in, Betts scores, but a fly ball would have scored him as well. So why are you pitching to Freddie Freeman? When Freddie Freeman got that base hit to drive him in, he's standing on first. If they'd have walked him, he would have been standing on first, but Betts still would have been on third.
Right.
The next guy strikes out. The next guy flies out. We're still playing. Is Bob Melvin even aware? I mean, this guy is supposed to be three-time manager of the year. Where did that come from?
Well, I think, Dave, I listened to Bob's post-game last night, and he was asked that question, and it's a very, very fair question. I think a lot of us kind of went, well, you know, Will Smith's catcher runs okay for a catcher, but not a speed burner by any stretch of the imagination. And another guy, by the way, who's not swinging the bat very well at all. I mean, and he is a double play candidate. But I think Bob Melvin was kind of in the thought process, this Dodger ball club, they can explode at any time. And it's better, hey, you know what? We're going to have to score a run to win anyways. We don't want to let them get more base runners. All of a sudden, they put two or three or four runs on the board, and we're completely out of the ball game. That's what I think his thinking was, hey, we can give them one run, and we'll come back and get that runner. We'll try to add that second run. I think that was his feeling last night, Dave.
But he didn't have to give them the run. If he walked him, the most double plays in the season for the Dodgers is Will Smith.
Right.
And that's the next batter.
So yeah, but how about if Will Smith ends up hitting one in the gap and Freeman scores and Will Smith's on second and then they get a little bleeder through the infield. Now three runs are in. Bob Melvin was trying to limit the damage is what he was trying to do.
I get it. But how many – I know you've coached in tournaments just like me. How many times have you seen a guy hold back – when they need, when you know the team comes up from the loser's bracket, the team that's has not lost, they decide to hold back their best pitcher for the next game in because they think they could win the first game. It never works.
No, it doesn't. I agree.
It never works. So that's to me the same thing Bob Melvin did. He's looking ahead, just like the guy that pitches his second best pitcher in the first championship game and loses, and then they go, okay, well, we got our best pitcher in the championship game, and then that guy loses. That's what Bob Melvin did. He was looking ahead a step, and he shouldn't have been.
Well, you know what? He makes a lot of money to make those decisions, and whether it was right or wrong, he defended himself pretty good in the post game last night. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of see his point to a degree. I've watched the Dodgers a lot, and they can – I think they've had Dave, I think 45 innings this year where they've scored four or more runs because, I mean, let's face it, I mean, the Dodgers are an explosive ball club, and if you want to play their percentages and that Will Smith may hit in the ground ball double play, I totally get that. You know what? I think he could have gone either way. I know what he was trying to do, but I think good baseball acumen says you got to walk him and play for the double play. I would agree with you on that.
Okay, well, the other thing is I agree with you on Grisham, you know, as a car, had his little hot streak, and but not playing Grisham for the better part of the last couple of weeks, you know, how can you expect him to be pitch perfect on getting that bunt down? You know, yes, he looked at the third strike, but to me the biggest part of that at-bat was him fouling off that or missing that bunt attempt, because the bunt attempt, you got a guy in third with less than two outs. If he gets that bunt down like we know Grisham can, then we score the run and it's tied again. But he wasn't on his game. He wasn't on his game. He hasn't been playing.
Well, you know what, Dave? Here's the deal. You know, he hadn't been playing, but they've been working with him on things. I mean, he's out there every day. He's hitting in the cage. He's hitting on the field. You're a major league player. You've been doing it for 6 months. I mean, you don't need to work on bunting 100 bunts a day. You know what? You got to get the job done. And I know it's tough. I mean, those guys are moving the ball. They're throwing hard. Canely's a tough guy because he throws fastball. He's got a great changeup. You know, it didn't work out last night. Grisham's had a rough year. There's no question about it. I don't fault Bob Melvin for trying to do that, to put the ball in play. And, you know, it comes down to execution. And I'll let you go on this. Azokar, I mean, for a guy that has zero power, I mean, they've asked him to bunt two or three times in the last week, and he hasn't been able to get one of those down. And that's a problem come postseason play against number one and number twos. Dave, great call. Good to hear from you. Hope all's well with the family. Appreciate that. Dave Miller, by the way, played at Patrick Henry High School, Grossmont College, played at USIU. Pretty good hitter, man. He can hit a little bit, no question about it. Hey, we'll take a quick timeout. Oh, I see Kevin in Chula Vista. Boy, I bet he's loaded for bear today. We got Tim and Santee, Jorge and Scripps Ranch. Hey, you can be a part of the program today as well. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Coach John Couture, we're headed to 2 o'clock in Gwynn and Chris today, right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, 10:43 the time. Thanks so much for joining us today. This hour of the John Couture Show is brought to you by Pfizer and BioNTech. Charging a cell phone can be like getting a booster shot. A booster is given to enhance or restore protection after primary series vaccination, which wanes over time. Schedule an appointment when you're eligible. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech. By the way, it is time right now to enter the key word. The key word today is ACE. Yeah, we have a few aces on our staff. Enter the keyword ACE at 973thefansd.com/autographs for your chance to win a baseball signed by a Padres player. We're giving away one baseball per day on the station. Again, enter the keyword ACE right now at 973thefansd.com/autographs. You know, I know a lot of people will disagree with me on this statement, but I live and breathe Padre baseball, and I have since I was a little boy. I mean, I used to go to bed listening to the PCL games, Al Schuss and my little transistor radio, and then the Padres came into existence in 1969, and I got my old scrapbook, you know, with all the original Padres and the programs and everything. But, man, I live for these Dodger games. I flat out live for these Dodger games. And I know we haven't fared well the last several years, and we're not faring well this year, wins and losses. But I love going against the Dodgers, and I can truly say this. I know everybody's excited about other teams coming into San Diego next year, but I'm going to miss those six games we're going to lose against the Dodgers. I mean, I love when L.A. comes to San Diego. I love when the Padres go into L.A. I mean, 19 times they've been going at it. Now it's going to go down to, what, 13 next year? I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss that a lot because, man, there's not a better day to be on the radio than when the Padres are playing the Dodgers. I can tell you that right now. Okay, we're going to get back to it. Again, the rubber game tonight at 6:40. I want to hear your thoughts on the ball game last night. Hey, when you lose a ball game 1-0, I mean, you can dissect that thing 38 different ways. There's no question about it. Love to hear from you. 833-288-0973. And by the way, Freddie Freeman having a hell of a year. First year in a Dodger uniform. That was his 192nd hit. When he drove in that run in the 10th inning, 192 hits. Most hits he's ever had in his career, in all those great years in Atlanta. Never had more than 192 hits. Kevin in Chula Vista, welcome to the John Couture Show. How are you today?
I am happy. How about that?
Well, that's good. You know what? Last night was tough. You know what? We're hanging in there. I mean, our pitchers did a hell of a job last night. They really did.
Well, you know, the only problem with the pitching is the night before Blake and last night with Joe, I mean, yeah. You've got an enormous amount of pitches by the time they got to fifth inning. They've totally shot their load and worn themselves out. So that's a bit of a concern, but it is the Dodgers. So I agree with you, John, on the what you just said on, you know, the Dodgers. And I can remember – the same radio with Chess and Al Coupe was on there too, wasn't he, for a while?
Sports of the Day with Al Coupe on old Channel 10. And yes, he did Padre games in the old PCL.
Yes, he did.
Certainly did.
Yeah, those were fun. That was the romantic time of baseball.
Yep.
And our sports innocence here way back in the day. So having said that, I think you and I talked, we said we needed out of the last nine games, five. We got one. We're 1-1 in the last nine here so far. So, you know, that's what you got to track. And as far as the hitting goes, look, you know, we've discussed this all year long. And you got to give the Dodgers some credit here. They scout the Padres extremely well. And they know the tendencies of these guys, what they can, what they can't do. They are excellent at that. They've got Manny twisted up. I mean, the scouting on him, and this was brought up, I think, either on the TV or the radio. I think it was the TV. They're giving him everything outside. You're not going to see Manny going dead red down the middle unless it's a pitching mistake. That's one example. Manny's got to adjust. He hasn't. If you're going to pick on Grisham, go pick on Ha-Seong Kim at the top of the order. Nothing there. Jake Cronenworth, my God, just sitting there looking at pitches going down the middle. We're talking about working the count. Well, there's two ways that you can look at this, John. You know that the pitchers, and this is, you can look at it every night, they're going dead red on the Padres right down the middle because they know the Padre hitters have been told, sit and look at it. So I'm of the old school. I see the ball, hit the ball. And I just think there's just way too much psychoanalysis going on with analytics and everything else. These guys, they don't know what a strike zone is anymore. When you brought up Tony Gwynn and strikeouts, a great example. Tony knew a strike zone, and he knew when you got two strikes on you, you can't have your bat on your shoulder. You've got to do everything you can to stay alive. That's how you work the count. Padre hitters, Jake Cronenworth last night sitting there looking at a fastball coming inside on the inside corner of the plate, clear strike. And he sits there and looks at it first for a called strike three. And then he wants to argue with the umpire. I mean, what the hell? You know, Jake, hit the damn ball. You haven't done this all year. And that goes for the rest of them. So, you know, this is just this is who they are and what they are, John. They've been
inconsistent team. I don't know what the Padre hitting theory is, but whatever it is, you better flush it down the toilet during the offseason and start from scratch. How about that?
Well, no, we've said this, and God knows we've talked all season long about this, and we've tried to nurse this team as fans, and we've, like I said, cussed and discussed. I'm done. I can't analyze anymore other than to say they've got to simplify this. And because what they have done clearly isn't working, just let these guys go up. And if you see first pitch dead red down the middle, damn it, swing. You know, at least you put the ball in play.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir here, buddy. You know, I remember many, many years ago, and I'm not going to mention the executive I talked to. He's no longer here. He's with another organization. And we had this chat because I used to spend a lot of time down around the batting cage when Bruce Bochy was here and later with Buddy Black. And now they've got different rules where you can't go up by the batting cage and all that. So everything's a little bit different. But I used to spend a lot of time around the cage. And I got into a conversation one night with an executive who has not been with the Padres now for a number of years, but it seems like they still kind of have the same organizational philosophy. You know, let's work the count. Well, there are very few teams that can work the count. The team we're playing against right now does it better than anybody in baseball because they got a bunch of dudes that can hit with two strikes and they foul pitchers off. I mean, you talk about running the count up on Joe last night. Dodgers fouled off 17 pitchers last night against him. That's what runs the pitch count up. But the comment I made to him was I said, you know what? You guys are passively aggressive the way you teach your hitters. I go, I'm totally against that. I go, you got to be aggressively passive. Every pitch that's thrown, you got to be ready to hit. It's hit, hit, hit. Now it's a ball rather than ball, ball, ball. Now it's a strike. Now I'm going to get started. You're too late, okay? You got to be going. You know, the old theory, you don't hit the ball where it's pitched. You hit it if it's pitched. You know what? You got to be ready to hit. And you know what? Good aggressive hitters will swing at bad pitchers from time to time. I'm tired of this, you know, the chase rate. Hey, you know what? Some of the great hitters of all time swung at bad balls, but they were flat out aggressive, and they went and got that baseball, and they did some damage with it. And we got too many guys right now that are lurking for that pitch right on a tee. And a lot of times when they're behind in the count and they get that pitch, they take it for a strike.
That's exactly what I just said, and it's called situational hitting. They don't have the seeming mental awareness in front of them of count by count, strike by strike, ball by ball. Okay, I need to do something different. How I hold the bat, stroke up on the bat, look at the defense in front of them, and look for the holes. This Padre team seems not to be able to mentally adjust at the plate. And I just think they are so screwed up in the head by what they have been told over and over and over. And they've got to uncomplicate this if they're going to do anything in the future. Best as I can tell. You know, you're a coach, John. You tell me.
Watching this team hit, it's a challenge sometimes for me. I mean, I've been around some of the great hitting coaches in the history of baseball. And one of them, I'll start with Ben Hines, who for a number of years was the Dodgers hitting coach. He recruited me out of junior college, and I listened to him talk many a time on hitting. Merv Rettman, who was here. Jim LaFever, who had a great reputation as a hitting coach. There have been so many good guys that I've learned from, and I watch what these Padre hitters do or don't do. I gnash my teeth. I got to wear my little mouthpiece that I wear when I go to bed at night so I don't bite down on my tongue or something. I have to sometimes wear that when I'm watching a ball game here at home. I get so irritated. Hey, Kevin, have a great day, my friend.
Yeah, you too, John. And don't break the TV when you're watching all this go on like I do.
Yeah, no, I won't break my TV. I'm not going to pay the price for that one, but I do wear my mouthpiece every once in a while. And I just grit my teeth and go, come on, swing the damn bat. Let's go. I mean, you get beat 1-0. Hey, Dodgers got great pitchers. I mean, Urias is tough, man. I mean, major league pitching is tough to hit. I know, but you can't make it tougher on yourself than it already is. I mean, you got to go up there with a game plan. And, you know, Kevin mentioned the word situational. Situational hitting. When you're ahead in the count, man, you got to look for a ball in your zone. And if that ball's not in your zone and you got less than two strikes, take that pitch. If that's not the pitch you want and you have less than two strikes, take the pitch. The other thing about breaking balls, you're not going to hit. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care who you are. I don't care. You can be Ted Williams. You're not going to hit a great breaking ball, a great curveball, a great slider. You're not going to hit it. Great split finger foul. You're not going to hit it. You may put it in play, but you're not going to hit it with any type of damage behind it. You're going to hit mistake pitches, the old cement mixer, a breaking ball that, you know, flips out of the pitcher's hand, just kind of spinning up there. You're going to hit that. And unless you have two strikes, you don't have to swing at a breaking ball. You've got to make your living in the big leagues hitting off of the fastball. And if you can't hit a fastball consistently, you're not going to be in the big leagues very long, the way I see it. All right? Okay, I know we've got a ton of people that want to chat, and I'm going to get to everybody at the top of the hour. But man, it is frustrating watching this ball club pitch. But again, the thing that I don't want to be overlooked last night was our pitching staff. You know, yesterday, I remember that one guy, it was, I was talking about Joe Musgrove and the type of guy he is, the get after it guy, the get the uniform dirty type of guy, being a tough guy out of East County. And a guy goes, oh, is Joe Musgrove tipping you? Now, Joe Musgrove ain't tipping me. I never made a dollar off any of these ball players, nor will I ever. But, you know, I call him as I see him. Joe Musgrove's a flat-out gamer. Not only is he a gamer, great team guy. Last night, man, he gutted it out. I don't know if he had great stuff last night. I'll tell you this, he got out of a tough bases-loaded jam there in the first inning. That game could have got away right away in the first inning last night. Then he got out of that fifth inning, final inning he pitched. Man, he was able to get out of it with the bases loaded again. And I mentioned he left nine guys. He left nine guys on base in the five innings. In the first and the fifth, bases were loaded when he was able to get out of it. And then the bullpen was great. Hill, Garcia, Martinez, Hader, Steven Wilson threw fine. He gave up that little dunker to Freddie Freeman, ended up being the only run of the ball game. Oh, man, I got to get a little hydration during the break. I'm kind of fired up today. Big rubber game tonight, man. I live for Dodgers, Padres. When we come back, we'll get right back to your phone calls. Hour number two, right around the corner. Stay with me, Coach John Katura, going to two on 97.3 The Fan. Hey, it's Coach John Katura. Thanks for downloading and listening to The John Katura Show. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can always listen live weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.